All right, welcome to the room. And we're going to continue on with what we've been talking about regarding the gospel misunderstandings that are going on and have been going on for years. I'm hoping we can cover four of them tonight. The ninth, if you're keeping track of which is which, the ninth, tenth, 11th, and 12th misunderstandings. And tonight's, the first one, the ninth one, centers around what was new about the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel is a quote from Philippians 4:15. Let's look at that. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So, when Paul departed from Macedonia, was there a beginning of the gospel? Is that what we just read? In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. When Paul departed from Macedonia, there was a beginning of the gospel. That's what the Bible just said. So, but what gospel began when Paul departed from Macedonia? Which gospel is it speaking of? The beginning of the gospel was too late to be about the gospel of God beginning at that time. That's mentioned earlier. It's mentioned there are many gospels. That's true. Yeah, gospel being good news. There's a lot of good news in the Bible. And as we go back and look in Acts 9, we can see that Paul, Saul of Tarsus called at the time, he used and spoke of the gospel of God. He didn't name it at that time, but let me just put the verses up there. That's Acts 9:20. You can see a clear footprint of the gospel of God. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, those Jewish harbors, the places where they met for Judaism. He preached Christ in the synagogues that he, Christ, is the Son of God. Well, when you look at the gospel of God, as it says in Romans 1:1, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son. In verse 3 it says, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the sonship of Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, that's what Paul has just quoted, wasn't it? Or preached, it says, in Acts 9:20. Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So he's emphasizing who Jesus is, the identity of Jesus, that he's not just some other guy. And he did that in Acts 9:22 and Acts 9:29. Acts 9 is way before Acts 20, when Paul sailed away from Macedonia, when he departed from Macedonia. So it can't be the gospel of God is what we're talking about here. Paul also used the gospel of God in Acts 13. Verses 30 through 37, that's declaring the gospel of God, declaring who Jesus is, his identity, the name of Jesus. And also in Acts 17, verse 3, you see a compact statement of the gospel of God, according to 1 Thessalonians 2:9, that tells us that that's what it is. But if we look there, it might clear up some things. We read in Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, what Paul calls the gospel of God. Here he uses it. It says, opening and alleging that Christ must have suffered and risen again. There's risen again from the dead. That's the resurrection. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's the Messiah. So, when we look in 1 Thessalonians 2:9, we see Paul reporting afterwards about what he preached there when he was in Thessalonica, before he immediately got run out of town. It says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." There he names it very clearly. Hi, welcome to the room. So it was too late. Also, it was the Acts 20 time when Paul is talking about in Philippians 4:15 as being the beginning of the gospel. When Paul sailed away from Macedonia, that was too late to be the gospel of God, the beginning of the gospel of God. So what are the other possibilities? What gospel was he talking about that began when he departed from Macedonia? It was too late to be the gospel of Christ, too. That's mentioned in Acts 13. Just after Paul speaks about the gospel of God, in verses 30 to 37, he speaks of the gospel of Christ. Doesn't name it again, but he uses the term. Uses the gospel. The gospel of Christ in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. And if there's any doubt, in Acts 16, when Paul visited Philippi, when Paul visited Philippi in Acts 16, he preached. Many of them believed. What did they believe? Well, in Philippians 1:27, in Philippians 1:27, we see, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So he's writing back to them after Acts 28, verse 29. He writes back to them in Philippians 1:27 in Philippi, and he says that you, in other words, you were saved by the gospel of Christ back then when I was there. Let your conversation, your life, your behavior, let it be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So that's what he preached back there in Acts 16. So it's too late. This Acts 20, departing from Macedonia, is too late to be the beginning of the gospel of Christ, because it had already begun before Acts 16, according to this. According to Philippians 1:27 about Acts 16, when Paul visited Philippi. So, when you find the verses where Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, then 18 verses later, God named that gospel the gospel of the grace of God, in the testifying of, or the dispensing of, the grace of God. Christ introduced the mystery of Christ to Paul in a dispensing of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks, as seen by Paul's manner of first going to the synagogues to preach the gospel of God, and then the gospel of Christ to the Jew first. The target audience changed, though. It changed from what it was in the beginning to what it was later on, after Paul sailed away from Macedonia, Philippi, Macedonia. The target audience changed from the Jews to all men, all people, us, the likes of us, were included in that all men that Paul was later sent to. After he stopped talking about healings and tongues and head coverings and taking the Passover and things like that. The target audience changed, and so did the doctrine about those peripheral issues, those issues that did involve the Jews and the Greeks in their association with the priests, etc., and the people that still believed in Judaism. When Christ sent Paul to all men to dispense the gospel of the grace of God, starting in Acts 20, that's when his sending changed. Now, his preaching might not have changed right away, but that's when his sending changed. Now, you know, we stated before in earlier lessons that his sending from Christ is not restricting him. It doesn't say you can't preach to other people. But the writings that he writes are related to those who he was sent to, not to the extra people that he may have spoken to in the market or in the jail or whatever. So that's why it's important to us, because we have those writings and we don't want to get confused by his early writings, which include information that are not to us. A lot of it is about the body of Christ and our salvation, etc., and the mystery of Christ, but some of it, some of those things that seem to cause trouble, they're to the Jews that he spoke to first, before he spoke to people like us. I mean, before he was sent to people like us. Slip of the tongue. All right. And the content of that saving message of the gospel remained the same, though, as spelled out in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6. And let's look at those verses and what the gospel really is and was. It was this in the dispensation of the gospel, and it was this gospel in the dispensation of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. Now, they had to believe the right gospel. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. It's vain to believe Peter's gospel, or the gospel that was the kingdom gospel preached even by Jesus when he was offering the kingdom at hand, the at-hand kingdom to Israel. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's what was going on. That's not our gospel about a kingdom coming. But let's go on with the gospel here. He says, what I preached unto you, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. It's a matter of receiving it to yourself. How that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for my sins. That's receiving it. I believe that that's all that's... The sins are gone once he died for them. I don't have to suffer for them or try to atone for them myself. I just receive what he did for me. Receive the atonement. Romans 5:11. We have now received the atonement. So, verse 4, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. That's what we believe. That's how we're saved. That's the gospel in the dispensation of the gospel, and that's the gospel in the dispensation of the grace of God today. He was seen of Cephas, the 12. And then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, as he wrote this, but some are fallen asleep. And we go through that. I go through that because that's where the first period is. There's no period at the end of verse 4. And it reemphasizes the resurrection that is in verse 4. So before we begin, before the beginning of the gospel that's quoted there, that's a quote from Philippians 4:15. Before that happened, Paul called that saving message my gospel. And you can see that in Romans 2:16 and in Romans 16:26. He called it my gospel. Well, after the beginning of the gospel, in epistles, an epistle that he wrote afterwards, Paul also called that same saving message my gospel in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. So we know that whether you're talking about before Acts 20, verse 6, when Paul departed from Philippi, Macedonia, at the beginning of the gospel, or if you're talking about after Acts 20, verse 6, it's the same saving gospel. He calls it my gospel. Same name. So, you know, the same content or message. I shouldn't say it's the same gospel, because it's got a different name. It's a different name, though, because of, I think we went through this in the last lesson, that gospel... it's not just the content. I mean, there are several aspects to a gospel. Who it's given to, who it's spoken to, who it's aimed at. The target audience is one, a second element of a gospel. And that's what changed between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Also, a gospel is, it's not good for us to go out and build an ark. There's a time element for a gospel that's involved in a gospel. That's a third element. So the saving message or the content of the gospel remained the same in the gospel of the grace of God as it had been in the gospel of Christ. Let's look at those a couple of those verses that we talked about. The first one, Romans 16:25, Paul calls the gospel that we just went through there in 1 Corinthians 15:1-6, he calls it my gospel. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you, or make you stable in your Christian life, in your, well, to make you stable. It's, if you're not stable, you're not saved. Okay? So the starting point, though, is, he says, now that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's the use of the term, my gospel. And it's the first of three things that stabilizes you. The door, gate, the first step is to believe the gospel. Then he says also, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Not the prophetic teaching like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the prophets, Isaiah 53, etc., but the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revealed mystery, the telling of the secret, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And that was written in Acts 20, verse 3, when he wrote Romans, before he was sent to all people, before Acts 20, verse 6. After it, though, after Acts 20, verse 6, he wrote his last epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. In other words, like I said, that's his use of that term for the gospel after he was sent to all people. So another passage of Scripture where the saving message before the beginning of the gospel shows to be the same saving message as after the beginning of the gospel is in Ephesians 1, verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 says that we should be, now take notice of the pronouns, we being, well, it's defined in the verse. Let's read the verse. Now, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? You and me? Well, no, we're way down the line, aren't we? Paul first trusted, and then those that he preached to in Acts before his post-Acts epistles and his being delivered from this world into the heavenly kingdom, actually. So he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That trusting in Christ to save us is what he's talking about there. And then he goes on to say, in whom you also, not me, not Paul, but the rest of us, in other words, that came to believe after he was sent to all people, in whom you also trusted. There's that trusting in Christ. The same gospel. I should say it's the same content, the same message. It's just different people it was sent to. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed there. You're sealed in the body of Christ. That's where the expression comes from. It's not a biblical expression, but it describes a biblical process. Once saved, always sealed. Once you're saved, you're sealed. And that keeps you saved always. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, those Ephesians of Acts 18 that Paul visited in Ephesus in chapter 18, who first trusted in Christ, were trusting the gospel of Christ in the Acts period, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. And in Ephesians 1, 13, the next verse, those Ephesians who also trusted after that they heard the gospel of their salvation were trusting the gospel of the grace of God after Paul's later sending, the ones that he wrote to after, you know, after he heard of them in Ephesians 1:15. But they were trusting the gospel of the grace of God according to 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6. So both before and after the beginning of the gospel, they in Ephesus trusted the gospel of their salvation in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. It was not two different saving messages. It was not two different programs. It was the same saving message, the same salvation into the same body of Christ, the one body of Christ. So what was new about, you know, what was the beginning of the gospel? It was the beginning of Paul being sent with that same saving message sent to all men, and the name of the gospel that it denoted that then, the name of the gospel was changed to the gospel of the grace of God. All right, let's go to the 10th misunderstanding about the gospel. This one, just briefly, did Philippi, the city of Philippi, did they hear the gospel of grace or the gospel of Christ or only the gospel of God? And this is this aspect, this pondering, I guess you could say, is used by people that do not want to accept the later sending of Paul to people like us. Or that there was an earlier sending that he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek in a work, in that period that prophecy calls the work. The dispensation of the grace of God is not in prophecy at all. In fact, the dispensation of the gospel is not in prophecy. That's the body of Christ's side of what's going on in Israel during a work, which is prophesied. That work that God will do among Israel, which they will not believe, it says, though a man tell it to them. Acts 13, 40, 41, and Habakkuk 1, 5, cross-referenced. So, did Philippi, which gospel did they hear? Implications are made that we Bible believers claim that the gospel of Christ began in Acts 18. That's an implication that people make sometimes. We don't believe that. We don't believe the gospel of Christ only started, only began in Acts 18. It began when Paul was first saved. He was saved by the gospel of Christ, by standing in front of Christ and believing that Paul had committed the unforgivable sin. Just like Ananias and Sapphira, he would have been struck dead if he hadn't been saved from that. Christ started a new pattern of salvation with Saul of Tarsus. Paul couldn't have been saved back into Israel. He had committed the unforgivable sin in Israel's doctrine, Matthew 12:32. So, it's not true that we claim that the gospel of Christ began in Acts 18. That just is a way to mix in confusion when they imply that. Christ did reveal the gospel of the grace of God to Paul in his temple vision, which occurred in Acts 18. That was in Acts 18, verse 32. That's that short, ultra-short visit to Jerusalem where he had to leave immediately. When he got there, he went to the temple, got a message, get out of town in a big hurry. They're not going to believe what I'm telling you now, that you're to go to the far-off Gentiles. Far hence, to the far-off Gentiles, like us. So, Christ revealed that in Acts 18, but that's not the beginning of when people were being saved by 1 Corinthians 15, 1-6, by the gospel of Christ. Christ had not yet commissioned Paul to go preach it to all men until Acts 20, verse 6. Even though in the temple vision that Paul reports back about in Acts 22, verse 20, 17 to 21, Christ says to Paul, I will send you. So future, in the future from Acts 18, 22, during that temple vision, in the future from then, Paul was to be sent. Christ would send Paul to all people. And that happened in Acts 20, verse 6, which was after the temple vision, later on, after the temple vision, and reported by Paul to the officials in Acts 22. So I'm trying to get the sequence of things so you can see that they all happened in order. Paul received his sending to go to all people. The actual sending, when he was responsible to start preaching, or let me put it this way: the way the Bible says. Let's read the verses. Let me just make another statement, and then we'll read the verses in Acts 22. Paul's report of that temple vision in Acts 22:17-21. But it was all in connection, all these events in connection with Christ's later sending of Paul to dispense the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul told about in these verses. Let's start in verse 17 of Acts 22. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, so he's talking about a visit to Jerusalem, and he had just finished talking about his visit, his attack, really, the disciples in Damascus, and how he, on the road to Damascus to go round them up and bring them back to be killed, he saw Jesus and got saved there on the road to Damascus. And people get mixed up. They read right through this verse and don't process it. But it says that when I was come again to Jerusalem. Jerusalem isn't Damascus. So this is something else that's happening. And it's happening when he comes to Jerusalem. And it says it's probably not his next trip to Jerusalem after his Damascus salvation, road to Damascus, because he says, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, so I had gotten to the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. There's his order to make it a brief visit. Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. When you tell them or testify about what I'm telling you now, they won't receive it. You can see in verse 22 what happens when he comes back to Jerusalem and tells them about that temple vision, what they do. But that's after... that's another... let's stick with this report of the temple vision. Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, and this is Paul speaking, Paul said, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Will send is not at that time. It's in the future still. So it wasn't in Acts 18:22 that he was sent, but he was told about his sending then. He had received apostleship, put it that way, but he hadn't received the actual sending. Romans 1:5 says he had received apostleship to all nations. And that was written in Acts 20, verse 3. And then 3 verses later, in Acts 20, verse 6, he was actually sent. So before Christ's later sending of Paul, Christ had already appeared to Paul in Acts 9 to reveal his mystery pattern of saving formerly unforgivable sinners into the body of Christ. And that the gospel in that earlier dispensation of the gospel was the gospel of Christ. It was called the gospel of Christ. It's the same saving message that we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-6. But the gospel of Christ in that earlier dispensation is told about in 1 Corinthians 9. And we're going to read 3 verses that tell about it. That's in Romans 11:13 question. So let's look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, verse 17, and verse 18. Starting in verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So he identifies the gospel that he's using there in 1 Corinthians, written in Acts 19. Look down at verses, this is the 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, even if I don't want to do it, I'm required to, it's committed to me to dispense this gospel. Which gospel? Well, verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So all through here he's still talking in this 1 Corinthians written in Acts 19 before he was actually sent in his later sending. He was talking about the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That saving gospel is detailed again in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6, and we're not varying on that. That's how Paul was saved. That's what he preached in the dispensation of the gospel. That's what he preached in the dispensation of the grace of God, which we're in today. That's how we're saved today, by those verses in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. And that earlier commissioning of Paul to the Jew first and also to the Greek extended from Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, when he was sent out, until Christ sent him to all people instead of just to the Jews and the Greeks at the beginning of the gospel, with the dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. And I'm done with what I've got prepared for tonight. So if there are questions, it looked like there were some questions up there.